All right, so we are on page Shin Samach Tes at the... No, I'm sorry, not Shin Samach Tes. It's like Shin Samach Ches, I should say, at the bottom. Sifkatan Dalet. Yom Chamishi v'Yom Shishi. And we're dealing with the question of an ongoing series of doses of medication. So what we had said, we already read it last time, the Shulchan Aruch said that if you drank a dose on Thursday and you drank a dose on Friday and now you need to take one on Shabbos, you're allowed to. And the reason the Shulchan Aruch says was that's the pattern of refuah. That's what you do in order to take this medicine, is it requires 7 days or whatever it is, day after day after day. And that's why it is justified. So he's going to give you in the Nishmas Avraham three different reasons why it's okay to continue treatment on Shabbos with practical ramifications between them. They're not all the same. So where it says Dalet Yom Chamishi V'Yom Shishi, Hemshech Tikul B'Shabbat, continuing treatment on Shabbos. Somebody who, at doctor's orders, needs to take medication for several days consecutively, and Shabbos is among them. So some are lenient, say you could take it on Shabbos. Now, theoretically, if it's a daily dose rather than multiple per day, but just one dose per day, so you could work it out. Right, you could take it, assuming it doesn't have to be the same time precisely every day. Some do require the same time every day. But if it doesn't need to be the same time every day, so you could take it Friday afternoon right before Shabbos, and then after Abdallah, Matzai Shabbos, and you'll be fine. But assuming that's not doable, it has to be taken multiple times a day, or it has to be taken at the same time every day. So he says, some are lenient to say, yes, you're allowed to take it on Shabbos. Footnote 10 takes you to the Shmir Shabbos Gelchasa, who quotes the Mincha Shabbos. The Mincha Shabbos is quoting Rav Shlomo Kluger, which I brought you in Source Aleph. So take a look, please, at Source Aleph. Rav Shlomo Kluger, from a work of his called Sefer HaChayim. He's more famous for Ha'elef L'Chashlomo, his work of Chuvos, but this is a separate work. Hine, Margula Bepuma De'inshi Lomar, Dim Kvar Hischi Lasov Berfuos Kodem HaShabbos, Mutar Lo Lasov Safilu B'Shabbos. He says, people are accustomed to say that if you already started the course of medicine before Shabbos, you can continue on Shabbos. But if you didn't start during the week, you can't now start it on Shabbos. He says, I don't know where this came from. I don't know why he doesn't say the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shlomo Kluger is the 18th century. He's got the Shulchan Aruch in front of him. Just looking now to see the end of the line in the Shulchan Aruch. Well, you know why he doesn't give you the Shulchan Aruch. Because the end of the line in the Shulchan Aruch says the reason why you're allowed to do that is because it would be dangerous for you not to drink, in the case the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with. You know, the Shulchan Aruch's case is not the same as our case. The Shulchan Aruch's case effectively is that each day of the treatment, you are in danger. And failing to take it would be dangerous. That's not the case that we're talking about now. We're talking about now is the case where you have a course of antibiotics, and even though they tell you don't skip a day, people skip days for whatever reasons. They forget, they went on a trip, whatever it was, and they don't die. They may propagate resistant germs, but but fundamentally it happens that people miss a day. So that's really our question, and that's where he says, people say that you can do this, and I don't know where it came from. Venera. But he says, I'll give you the source. It appears. They learned it from the case of a ritia. Ritia is a bandage, and we're going to see it from the Shulchan Aruch in a little bit, but just following through in his line. The rule is that if you have a bandage with a plaster on the bandage, on your skin, and it falls off on Shabbos, you're not supposed to put it back. And I added in brackets, Shema Yimareach. The concern is that you may come to smear this plaster onto the bandage. Umavur betos v'sham uvmagin avram kan delitein lechadchila aser balavachi. So Tosfos writes, and the Magen Avraham writes, that even without this concern for lest you smear the plaster, you wouldn't be allowed to put a bandage on for the first time. Why? Mikach Shema Yavo Lide Shchika Samamanim. Because they have a separate concern. Forget smearing the plaster on it. You might grind the ingredients for this medicinal plaster. Right? Smearing the plaster is one problem on Shabbos. But what about creating medicine? Ach lahachzir, but when it comes to putting it back on, lo shayach shchikas samamanim. At that point, there's no concern for grinding to make a medicine, because the medicine's already made. You can already see, perhaps, where he's going with this. Lekach asur mikach shema yemarach. Therefore, it's only a concern of lest you smear. So what he's telling you is the following. Let's make sure we understand the plaster bandage case. Putting a bandage on for the first time is a problem. I'm using medication, and I might come to grind up ingredients for the medication. Replacing the plaster is only a concern of, you might smear the plaster as part of reapplying it, but there's no concern of creating medication. Why not? Because you already have the medication. So that's what he's now going to apply in our discussion. He just finishes the thought by saying, "V'imkin muchach dehechi tikvar haya al maka lo shayach hashash shchika saman imrach shama yimareach." Right? It's clear that where you already had it on the wound, there's no concern about creating medicine. That's not our consideration. So he then says, we're in the middle of source Aleph. Well, with Fizia, based on this, Berefur shahavi derech achila ushasiya, lo shaya chashash shema yimareach. He says, if you're taking medication with your Peter drink, there's no issue of lest you smear a plaster. The only concern is creating the medicine, grinding up. So when it comes to taking this medicine, a new medicine on Shabbos, then I am concerned. You don't take it on Shabbos because you might come to grind up. But if you started the medication before Shabbos, then you're already prepared as much medicine as you needed. It's like the plaster already being on the bandage. And there's no concern about you coming to grind. He says, forget medicine. I'm allowed to eat food. And we don't say, oh no, you might grind things up, right? Because you made your food before Shabbos. So too with the medicine. So what he's saying is, Rishlomo Kluger is giving us the first of the three reasons for why you're allowed to continue a course of medication that you began before Shabbos. And his argument is, we have a precedent in the case of a bandage. If I want to apply a bandage for the first time, I'm not allowed because there's a fear that I'm going to create a plaster for it by grinding things up. However, if the bandage was already on before Shabbos and it falls off, that concern does not apply. There's a separate concern of lest you smear the plaster to make it sit properly. But there's no concern that you're going to grind because the medicine's already there. So he says the same thing is true. If you started your course of medicine on Wednesday, you went to the pharmacy, they gave you 5 pills or 7 pills or whatever it's supposed to be. So there's no concern of lest you grind because you already had the pills before Shabbos. You follow? That's the that's Shlomo Kluger's approach to this problem. The Yesh Omer, back now in the Nishmas Avram, right after the footnote 10. We are on Shin Samaches at the bottom. We are 6 lines up from the end of the page. The Yesh Omer, and some say, Sherak im ha-hafsakat tigrom lo nezek. Some say no. Then what he says, some say, he's talking about the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasah from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He says, the heter is if, by stopping the medication for Shabbos, you would cause harm. You already started, and you have no choice. The medicine goes for a series of days, and Shabbos has got to be one of them. If it would be harmful, so then you're justified. If you take a look at source Beis, I gave you the quote from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa from Rav Shlomo Zalman. He writes, first the line in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa itself, if someone, by doctor's orders, has to take medicine for a series of days, B'Shabbos b'neim, and it includes Shabbos. Yish hamakilim olakafkan gam b'Shabbos. So some are lenient, as we've said, to take them even on Shabbos. And in the Ha'ara Ayin Vav, in the footnote in Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, he says b'shamati me'agon Rav Shlomo Zalman or Bachlita. Derak im ha'hafsaka tigrom lo nezek. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that the heter is specifically if by not taking it, it would cause harm. Or if the cure is specifically by taking it for these consecutive days, which happen to include Shabbos. That's more like the Shulchan Aruch's case, where you're in danger right now. So then there's reason to be lenient. Now I'm going to have to come back to that. I'm going to have to come back to that explanation because there's something that's not clear within that view. So you may be wondering something about that, but if you are, you're in good company. Right now I just want to get through the three opinions first. Because in footnote 11, he also refers you to a statement from Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he writes that Rav Moshe Feinstein agrees with Rav Shlomo Zalman. However, when you look at what Rav Moshe says, he does not agree with Rav Shlomo Zalman. And the problem is not only with him. The problem is that in the footnote in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, it seems to think that Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe are saying the same thing. But again, when you look in Rav Moshe, you'll see it's different. And I asked him about it, and he agreed. If you take a look at Source Gimel, you'll see Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva on the topic. He's really going to say a third thing. A little bit of a strange thing, frankly. B'dvar chola she'en bo sakana, regarding a patient who is ill but not dangerously so. He's in a state where he's not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Okay, someone who, not even when we say cholashen v'sakana, we usually mean he's severely sick, just not deathly so. That's not what Rav Moshe is talking about. Rav Moshe is saying somebody who is not sick enough to need medicine. However, during the week, he started taking medication, which are in pill form, he says, and you need to take it for 10 days. I don't know why he specifies that they're pills, except maybe to tell you you're not actually going to grind. I don't know. And if you were to stop for a day, the medicine would not be effective. So the question is, are you allowed to take it on Shabbos? I have a hunch, actually, about the pills, but I'll leave it. It's not necessary for this. He says, I don't know why one would even think it might be permitted. Maybe it's because the person will be agitated and upset because he can't get better as a result of constantly stopping for Shabbos. Maybe we would consider that his mental anguish would be the equivalent of an ache, a pain that causes him great pain, as the Rama discusses. He says, it's not so much the anguish itself as the effect the anguish will have on his body. And here I can plug my shiur in the beginning of April, my CME shiur on stress in Jewish law. This is an example of stress in Jewish law. V'lo mitzad tzar ba'alma shemitzta'er alma shelo yisrape. And he says, it's not because of the anguish of I won't get better itself, even though that is a big deal for people, that doesn't permit it. It's only that there are physical symptoms that come with it. If he is in such a condition where he needs the 10 days of pills, where you don't have a choice, it's not like it's a 5-day course and you say to him, start on Sunday. There is no such option if it's a 10-day course. And he won't get better unless he takes it on Shabbos.
Nervin.
If he is somebody who, as a result of being unable to take the medicine for 10 days straight, he's going to have nerves, a nervous breakdown. Oh, there it is. Nervin breakdown. There's a concern for the disease called a nervous breakdown. That's how you write it if you wanted to write that in Yiddish. So he says, "Hu vaday bedin mechush shemitztoer kol gufo." So he says that would be like a pain that pains his entire body. Sheish lahatir sheyikach b'shinui kitzas hashayach l'shanos gam berufuas l'kichas apilin avshal shayach shinui b'avla. So he says to take it in an unusual way. And he says, you know, you have to figure out how to do that with pills. You can't do a shinoi with swallowing. You can't swallow it differently. And if you can't do it with a shinoi, he's talking about is in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches, the different views regarding how far you can go to permit taking medicine where someone is not deathly ill. So that there are different views there. And that's what he's talking about here. But he says most people are not going to have a nervous breakdown as a result of being unable to take medicine on Shabbos. They're physically doing okay. They just know that they won't rid themselves of this disease because they're going to keep on skipping the medicine on Shabbos. So he says they won't have a nervous breakdown. For them, no, it's us. Or only if the effect of stress on the body is going to be that there will be physical harm, that's when you're able to do it. So that's really not the same thing as Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Rosh Shlomo Zalman said it's a medical need in terms of the illness itself. Rav Moshe is saying it's an external illness that you will create by not letting him take the medication. And Rosh Shlomo Kluger is entirely different. Rosh Shlomo Kluger said it's because I'm not worried that you're going to actually create medicine because you started your course of medicine before Shabbos. So you made your medicines then. You're not making your medicine on Shabbos. He's assuming that. So three different views regarding how to handle this this case. I found that very interesting, the fact that you have these three different views. Shlomo Zalman is talking about... hold the question. That's the question that I thought Brad was going to ask also. Or is it Brad or Mickey? I saw it on their face. It's a good question. Hold on to it. But so far we have these three views.
Sorry, are we going to talk about regular routine medications?
What do you mean by that?
Somebody who's on blood pressure pills.
Right.
We're not talking about this. Does that include this?
So...
I mean, these cases don't...
It depends a little bit on the circumstance and the level of need. In other words, this could be like the Shulchan Aruch's case, which is different. The Shulchan Aruch's case was, you need to take the medication every day because you'll be in danger for not taking it that day.
So it would be like Plavix or something, they have a drug.
Would you be?
Right.
Would you be? If you miss a day?
Keep it.
Well, you could do it differently, right? You could actually take one dose. Let's say you take them at night, like a Lipitor or something. You could take one the night before Shabbat starts, and then you could take the next.
Right, that's what we were talking about before you came in.
Right.
Yeah. You could do it that way. But I mean, if you miss one day, I mean, it's probably a very small risk from one day.
But it's one day a week.
No, but I think once you knock out a platelet, it's kind of gone, right? So I think the six next days would be okay. So I think why would you ever really want to take any risk, even if it was a really small one?
The question is always safek pikuach nefesh, and how much of a safek do you need in order to be worried? That's really what it comes down to. And we don't have a really firm quality definition of safek pikuach nefesh. In other words, we know that if you're not sure, you're supposed to err on the side of saving lives. And we saw last time we did this series, when we did Shin Chav Ches, we said even for a very small safek, even for a very small doubt. But I don't know how to put a number on very small. But when you keep in mind, we're dealing fundamentally with a derabanan. Right? That's what we're talking about, is a derabanan. And if you have the option of doing the shinui, as Moshe talks about, you've now improved things still more, then I would be inclined to say, go for it, take the medication. Even if you can't tell me that there's a particularly elevated risk that goes with skipping it by a day. Now, there's a whole other question which I thought you might be asking, which we're not ready for yet. But that's the question about ma'achol b'riyim, that which healthy people eat. In other words, medicine is bad because it's medicine. But what happens when medicine becomes what people eat all the time because it's good for them. So, for example, let's say I live in an area where there's no sun for 4 months out of the year. So I take vitamin D every single day. It's a supplement. It's not a medication. What, on what basis do you call it medication?
Because you're doing it to prevent a disease.
Isn't that why we eat food?
Food to me has a different connotation. Like you call it a vitamin. You know, lots of things like the paint the jocks, for instance. It's a plant. Right. I mean, it's like, so you say about eating, eating the jocks from a foxglove versus having a tomato or something.
As I understand, foxglove, if you didn't process it to make medicine, can be poisonous.
I mean, I don't know.
It is.
I've never had it from
foxglove poisonous, yes.
But I mean, but there are lots of medications that come from plants.
Yeah,
And it's just sometimes when you call it a vitamin, all of a sudden it has
The problem is we have to be careful about how we make our distinction. In other words, if I didn't know the halachic sources, the distinction I would make is, do you eat this because you like the way it tastes, or do you eat it because of the salutary effect on your body? In other words, I'm eating fish. Am I eating fish because my doctor said I need omega-3s, or am I eating fish because I like the way fish tastes, or because I have sources that say you're supposed to eat fish on Shabbos? I thought I would have said, but that's not the halachic distinction. The halachic distinction is this something that healthy people eat, or is this something that people eat only because they're sick? In which case, I would suggest, and I'm not saying this halacha because the sources on it are complicated, but if you were taking aspirin on a daily basis, there are an awful lot of healthy people who take aspirin on a daily basis.
You could say the same about any statins too. Primary prevention.
So that's part of the question here. Is at what point does it become machal briyim, healthy people food, instead of being medicine, and it's no longer under the decree of lest you grind things up? So I'll offer you another thought based on something we're going to see actually shortly, but I'll blow the secret at this point. One of the reasons to distinguish between medicine and healthy people food is the concern for behala, the concern for somebody being very upset, what if I don't get to take this? And therefore, as a result, if he doesn't have medicine available, he's going to grind stuff up. Meaning, I have food for my Shabbos table. I discover that the cholent, the crock pot wasn't turned on. So I don't have cholent. How apt am I to create cholent right now on Shabbos? Because I'm so upset that the cholent didn't get cooked. I'm not. No, I'm not likely to make cholent. It's food. I would have liked to have had cholent for Shabbos, but unless there's something wrong with me, where I just don't know how to cope with things, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make cholent. On the other hand, when you're dealing with medication, if I don't have medication, I'm going to do what I need to do to get the medication. So to a certain extent, maybe it's about how seriously you're going to react to not having it. And if the stronger the reaction to not having it, the less likely we are to permit it, effectively.
But today, even most pharmacies are compounding pharmacies, so no one's going to grind up anything.
Well, that's a whole other discussion about the Gezeira itself, which we did this a couple of years ago, and if you want, I can send you a link to the audio. Because, that's its own question of, is this decree at all relevant, is Manenu? But assuming that it is, and assuming that it's in force, that's the question we need to ask ourselves is, how do I distinguish between medicines people take every day, food, and medicines that are on a particular course? So let's continue here, because there's more to see, including some points that are relevant for that discussion. We are three lines up from the bottom on page Shin Samach, that's the end of the line. Let's say there's a woman who needs to take medicine over a course of consecutive days to enable her to become pregnant. So he says you're allowed to do that also. Now the truth of the matter is that has nothing to do with taking an ongoing course of medication. On the page it says Shin Samach Tes at the top. That has nothing to do with our issue. The reason why she's allowed to take the medication in order to enable her to become pregnant, if you look at footnote 12, he refers you to a tshuva in the Chelkas Yaakov. So the Chelkas Yaakov's rationale is because he considers her chola shein basakana. it's a great need. She wants to have children, even though she has no mitzvah, pru or revu, and that's why he justifies it. It has nothing to do with she took a course of medication and that's going to be allowed to continue on Shabbos. I'm a little surprised that he brought it in this paragraph. But he continues, Olam Noa He Rayon, or if she's taking medications to prevent herself from becoming pregnant, she has a cycle of birth control pills. Lefi Hetar Hara, assuming she has a psak from someone that she's allowed to take this. She's allowed to continue with this without stopping on Shabbos. And again, this has nothing to do with our discussion. The same thing would be if there's a woman who, before she's getting married, wants to make sure that she will not become a nida under the chuppah. So she's fixing her cycle before the wedding. So again, she'd be allowed to take these as well. And then the next two lines are the ones that come back to our discussion. Even after a patient is better, he's still able to continue the course to its limit, so he doesn't become sick again. Even though this is not treatment of his current illness, nonetheless, he's allowed to do this. And the rationale for it, on the face of it, is because he already has the medicine before, would be Rosh Shlomo Kluger's point, as well as the other points that we've... Well, not the point of it being dangerous, that won't apply. But here he decides to quote for you the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura. The truth is, I feel weird for even bringing it, because at this point it's what we talked about before. But, all right, take a look on your sheet at source Dalet and Hay, and I realized, I was wondering, I was having trouble fitting everything on the page. I did it twice. Dalet, Hay, Vav, Zayin, our replays. Cut and paste it twice. All right, fine. It's too bad, because I excluded other material. Oh, well. Dalet is the Shulchan Aruch about the Ratiyah, the bandage that Rosh Shlomo Kluger talked about. Maka Shinis Rapa, if you have a wound that has already healed, Nosnin Alea Ratiyah. So he says you're allowed to put the bandage on it. She'ina Ela Kemishamra, because all you're doing is protecting it from reopening. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Hay, V'lo Chayshinon She'yav Olidei Shchika Samamanim Umei Ruach She'ino Bo'ol Kolkach Achar Shinis Rapa. He says, Mishnah Berurah says, we're not worried that you're going to come to grind stuff up and to make the and to smear the plaster, because you're not worried, because it's already healed. So what he's saying there is not the same thing as what we had said before. What he's saying is what I had said in our conversation about differentiating between food and medicine. He says, once the wound is better, you're not so on fire to protect it that you're going to break Shabbos in order to do this. Therefore, we're willing to say you're allowed to put on the bandage, and as he's applying it here, you'd be allowed to continue the course of medicine as well. Are we clear on what he's saying? That's his statement. So now we come back to the question that Jeffrey asked, that I thought was on people's minds in general, which is, what kind of a patient are we talking about when we permit this? Sha'alti es mori harav rav Neuwirth shlita. L'dei rishona
le'el. Well, sorry, when you're saying we permit this, you're saying we're permitting to continue a course of medication on Shabbat.
Yeah. Yes. So he says, L'dei rishona le'el, within the first view before, meaning the view that said you're allowed to continue your course of medication, even if it won't cause you harm to take that day off. Al ezech chole medubar. What kind of patient are we talking about? Ki lechora im medubar b'chole she'en bo sakana. If we're talking about a patient who is ill, just not deathly so, halamutu lo lahaschil lakachas trufa gam b'Shabbos. He could start medication on Shabbos. V'hu adin l'day ashniya. And also within the second view, Shlomo Zalman's view, where we said that you're only allowed to take the medication in Yechle if it would make you ill to stop, meaning he'll be non-dangerously ill, because again, if he's deathly ill, there's no discussion. gam achshav nikracho l'shein bo sakana umutur lahadcha lakachas hatrufa b'shabbos. So he says he also is called a chol l'shein bo sakana right now, and therefore he's allowed to take the medication. In other words, if you're going to tell me that by skipping the medication tonight he's going to be a chol l'shein bo sakana, then take the medication, right? We've discussed this a lot. We even said, remember we talked about migraines, and we said that if he senses a migraine coming on, then he's allowed to take a medication now to thwart the migraine. He doesn't have to wait for the pain to build. So certainly this fellow who knows he's ill, and if he doesn't take the medicine, he's going to be chol l'shein bo sakana, he should just take the medication now. So I don't understand the case that you're talking about, either Shlomo Kluger or Shlomo Zalman. Right? Rav Moshe is in his own category with this. Meidach, but on the other hand, imidubara nazelet kala o machlat or kal. If you're talking about a light runny nose, or you're talking about a light skin disease, some kind of a rash, lechora gamim hischa lakachas trufa b'yom chamishi v'shishi asur lo lahamshich b'shabbos. Why should he be allowed to do that on Shabbos? If it's not hugely painful, if it's not hugely dangerous, so what's your heter for continuing it on Shabbos? And he says, yeah, Rabbi Leibert agreed with me. In other words, I don't know what they're talking about. Ach, however, based on what I'm going to write, which in fact he already brought in footnote 10, that was the Rosh Shlomo Kluger piece. B'shem Rosh Shlomo Kluger, that's all. Nirisha medubar al chola hamitzta'er harbei. What we're talking about is someone who is in a lot of pain, right? Confined to bed, that type of a thing. But he's not a chol l'shein bo sakana. He hasn't reached that level. He says that's what we're talking about. So he'll be in pain, but he won't be up to the level of being cholev. So that's the person for whom we would say, okay, fine, take this on Shabbos. See what I'm going to bring you from Rav El Yashiv, which we haven't seen yet. Next column, the Imre Yosher wrote in the name of the Chazanish, if there's a medication you have to take for a series of consecutive days, and you can't stop an entire day, so he's allowed to have it on Shabbos. The after Misha Lulezos lo hutar lo refor b'Shabbos, even if it was somebody who, based on his current condition, would not normally be allowed to take medication on Shabbos. And then he says, he sits katan up, where he's going to go through all this all over again. Okay. So that's what he has said so far. That brings us to Trufa Lifnei Tashmish. So Trufa Lifnei Tashmish talks about the following case. You have somebody who has a weak heart, and there's a fear that if he has relations with his wife, it's going to potentially lead to a heart attack. So he takes nitroglycerin pills to for his heart. I have no idea medically whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, but that's the case that I understand that he's talking about here. Well, that's actually, he has a separate discussion about Viagra that's coming up.
Nitro? No.
Sorry? No. Separate discussion. It starts at the bottom of this page. We're not going to see it today, but the bottom of this page is the Viagra one. But he writes, Kosef HaMinchas Yitzchak. He quotes you the Minchas Yitzchak. Muter l'misha kashalo hatashmish. Kegon chola hasovel me angina pectoris. Lakachas trufos, he go nitroglycerin, facial yazik lo atashmish. He says he'd be allowed to take the nitro pills so that the act will not harm him. So I brought you the Minchas Yitzchak in source tres. Vidvarshan Yishal Miish Echvat Sheishal Mechush Bilibo. You have somebody who has a problem with his heart. Vealkein Lefi Pekudas Harofim Muchrach Livloa Eze Samei Refua Kodim Veachar Tashmish. He needs to swallow medication before and after having relations. Kedil Chazeges Nizgo Shlo Yazik Lo Atashmish in order to strengthen his constitution so that he won't be harmed. Ubaze HaSheila Refua Ano. So that's the question. Kavar Marti, Lekvota Rasarapta, the Daiti Shari. He said, I already told you that this is mutter. We've discussed this before. The Ach, however, Kvota Rasarav, he ear. You challenged me and asked me the question because Madhiisa Bishulchan Aruch Chaim, the Asur Lasas Mechitza Bifnei Haner Kadesh Yishamesh Umuchach Sham Da'afilu Lavi Rak Yisur Ola Derabban and Asur. He says, really, we could give him another answer. Don't take the medicine and don't engage in Tashmish. Wait till Saturday night. Why does this have to be on Shabbos? After all, the Shulchan Aruch discusses the following. There's a prohibition against Tashmish Amita by light in an illuminated room. So let's say one wants to engage in this, but there's light in the room. So you say, oh, I don't put a wall up. Create a barrier. So there's an Issur D'Rabbanan against creating such a barrier for reasons that are beyond the scope of our discussion right now. And so what we say is that you're not allowed to make it on Shabbos. He says, look, there's a rabbinic prohibition against creating a barrier. We're not waiving that for the sake of Tashmish. There's a rabbinic prohibition against medicine. Why should we waive that? What's the difference between? There's one rabbinic prohibition here, there's one rabbinic prohibition there. We should say the same thing will apply when it comes to taking medication. Even though it is only rabbinically prohibited, even though it's only rabbinic prohibition of lest you grind up ingredients, it should be prohibited. He says just the opposite. From there, we have proof to permit. From the case of the mechitza. Why? During Mavur Baposkim, Daide Akum Shari, Mitam Davi Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. He says the rule is that if you have a non-Jew create the barrier, even though there's a rabbinic prohibition against asking a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos, because you're only asking him to do something that is itself rabbinically prohibited, it is a double derabanan. Asking a non-Jew to do something that is only rabbinically prohibited, and you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, a man has the obligation of ona for his wife, so maybe on Shabbos, whatever you're going to call the mitzvah, he says, that's the justification, as mentioned in the Chasam Sofer. Ubaze amina, the kosh kempani don't be done. So he says, how much more so in our case? Al piyam avur b'tshuvas radvaz, because the radvaz wrote, benidon chola shein bo sakana. He was dealing with the case of somebody who was ill, but not dangerously so. In mutter lishtos mashka hamishal shel b'shavas. And the question was, is he allowed to take something that will cause him a laxative, will cause him to have diarrhea on Shabbos? As part of his discussion, the Radvaz said that if you're allowed to do Amira La'akum, you are certainly allowed to take medication. Because he considered that to be even lighter than Amira La'akum. Because it's only about lest you grind things up. This is lighter than that concern. One reason why this is a lighter decree is because when you're dealing with Amira La'akum, you're dealing with an act that is fundamentally prohibited. And what makes it less bad is you're asking a non-Jew to do it instead of doing it yourself. With the medicine, there is no prohibition in the action. You can take medicine all day long. You're not violating anything. It's only a lest you grind things up. But there's no prohibition in your act whatsoever. So it's considered to be less bad. The im kein, and if so, im mutra amiru l'nachri b'shvus d'rabbanon l'inyin mitzvah kol shkei d'shari d'ikach samanim for the sake of the mitzvah. That's the argument of the Minchas Yitzchak. You follow what he's saying? The Minchas Yitzchak statement is, this is a really light d'rabbanon. Don't bother me about not making the mechitza. Because they allow you to tell the non-Jew to do it. So they'll certainly allow you to take medicine. That's the statement. Now, the truth of the matter is that it seems like there's a little bit of a bait and switch in his tshuva, because he's comparing the wrong things. He's comparing, on the one side, asking the non-Jew to make the mechitza with taking the medicine. Why is this not comparable?
So cool.
The Amira La'akum is a double derabanan. It's not a straight Amira La'akum asking a non-Jew to do a de'oraisa. You're asking a non-Jew to do something that's only a derabanan. That makes it even less strict than taking the medication. So that's what he notes here. V'ayin b'shmir shabbos kelchasa shakosev tzarech yun katan b'ra'ayasam yishut chasim sofer, etc. Deshani asam shuba atzmo eino osa klum elarak hanachri. That's a different story. The non-Jew is the one who's doing it, and it's only a derabanan. So the Shmir Shabbos Kochelson noted that this was a little strange. But that doesn't stop him from accepting the fact that Menachas Yitzchok said it. And he says, see, another safer find. V'chein mutter limdor chom k'dei ladaz hayamim habetuchim shal isha k'dei shebe'ezvas Hashem tuchali kanes leherayon. Separate point. But he says a woman would be allowed to take her temperature. She would use an analog thermometer, not a digital. But she would be allowed to do that even though it's an act of measuring. She could do that in order to know when she's going to be pregnant, because again, derabbanan for the sake of a mitzvah. The concern for measuring is only lest you write something down. Vayin le'el, shin vav, zayin, regarding taking temperature on Shabbos in general, fine. So I think what we'll do is we'll stop with that, rather than start on the Viagra case. That we'll pick up with, God willing, next time. Please note, as I said in the beginning, there's no class next week because I have a CPD class on Monday night next week. You're welcome to come to the CPD.